This is Community Connect, presented by Tampa General Hospital. I'm Amanda Wild. Joining me is Dr. Yevgenia Kushchayeva, Medical Director of the USF Adult Osteoporosis Program. Join us as we explore the essential aspects of bone health. Dr. Kushchayeva, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a great pleasure to be here, and thank you for the invitation.
Well, this is something that is personal to me and many other women. When do we need to think about checking our bones?
This is a very good question. Unfortunately, awareness about osteoporosis is not as good as we would like it to be. And many people are not aware when even to think about this. So the major US guidelines provide a clear recommendations for osteoporosis screening initiation. The US Preventive Services Task Force usually recommends screening all women who are 65 and older using DEXA study or dual energy X-ray absorptiometry. So also younger women might need to be screened if they have risk factors for bone loss. And some of them, some like previous fracture, parents with hip fractures, low body mass index, smoking, chronic glucocorticoid therapy, or other chronic disorders. For men, it is a little bit a different situation. Here, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force states that current evidence is insufficient to recommend routine screening for men, but other organizations, such as our National Bone Health and Osteoporosis Foundation and International Society for Clinical Densitometry suggest considering screening in men who are 70 years and older, and even younger men with a significant risk factors for bone loss. So in general, screening for bone loss is very important, and initiation screening depends on age and risk factors that a person might have.
Are there any clinical symptoms or signs of bone loss along with those risk factors? If there are symptoms, that would be something we need to consider.
This is a very good question. So maybe this is the reason why we don't know so good about osteoporosis, because this is usually silent, asymptomatic disease until fracture occurs. Fracture is the initial presentation of osteoporosis. We call those fractures fragility fractures because they can occur from minimal trauma, from falls, from standing position, even without trauma. And of course, symptoms will depend which bone has been fractured, but usually it is pain. However, sometimes with vertebral fractures, a patient might not have a classical clinical presentation, and up to two-thirds of vertebral fractures will be unrecognized by the patient due to really absence of symptoms like acute pain or misattribution to other chronic back conditions. So just chronic back pain that many of us might have, especially with aging. And this is very important to know that if the first fracture happened, so the risk for recurrent fracture will be significantly higher during the next 2 years after the first fracture. That is why screening for the primary prevention and if fracture already happened, evaluation of bone density is very critical to avoid the recurrent fracture.
It sounds like you diagnose bone loss due to fragility fractures, which might lead you to the screening with the DEXA, and the DEXA itself is a diagnosis tool. Do you have any other tools to diagnose bone loss?
Yes, absolutely. This is another great question. So we have a couple of ways how to diagnose osteoporosis. First of all, this is based on bone mineral density. When BMD T-score is minus 2.5 or less in spine or hip, this is osteoporosis. Also, when patient had already fragility fracture, regardless what DEXA shows, it's also osteoporosis already. And the third way how we can do this, we have a specific specific calculator that called FRAX. So this calculator we use for patients with osteopenia, but this calculator has multiple questions about risk factors that can tell us the 10-year probability for fracture. And that is the third way how we can diagnose osteoporosis. We also can use opportunistic images, something like a CT that done for any reason, not for a bone reason. You also can use this to predict bone mineral density and to clarify if patient might need additional evaluation.
You mentioned, aside from risk factors, that screening should apply to women 65 and older and men over 70. Those are the guidelines. But I'm wondering, I always hear about women and bone loss. Is bone loss a women disease, or women and men both get this disease at the same rate?
Osteoporosis is not only disease in women. Of course, the prevalence of osteoporosis in men is substantially lower than in women. It sounds like 4.4% versus close to 20%. But estimated number of men with osteoporosis, about 1-2 million in the United States. And interesting, based on literature, 1 in 3 women and 1 in 5 men over 50 will have osteoporotic fracture in their lifetime. And men, even they have lower incidence of osteoporosis, they have multiple risk factors, including, again, low body mass index, the same prolonged steroid use, previous fractures, sometimes smoking, sometimes alcohol consumption, hypogonadism, androgen deprivation therapy for patients with prostate cancer, let's say history of strokes, diabetes, all of those disorders will affect bone loss in men and exactly like in women. And the most important, what we need to remember, that men who experienced hip fracture have mortality rates approximately twice that of women. And let's say if we are talking about hip fracture that happened in men and women, 1 year mortality will be 37.5% in men compared to 28% in women. Most likely the success of mortality occurs at least partially because male fractures usually happened about 10 years later in life than in women when comorbidities are more prevalent. But osteoporosis is disease for both women and men.
And you have described many conditions that can cause bone loss. So that is something for us all to be aware of, and also aging.
Exactly. Osteoporosis is considering disease of aging. Right now, osteoporosis, I would say, became younger. And this is because of secondary osteoporosis, because primary osteoporosis, it's usually in women because of estrogen deficiency. When we became menopausal, we lose our estrogens that will accelerate bone resorption and reduce bone formation. So we will be losing more bone than we can build. But secondary causes will include a lot of chronic disorders. On top of what I mentioned, it also can be chronic kidney disease, liver disease, a lot of endocrine disorders, overactive thyroid, overactive parathyroid glands, Cushing syndrome, growth hormone deficiency, or let's say disorders that cause malabsorption like Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, celiac disease, multiple rheumatological conditions, because they usually have chronic inflammation, and plus those patients often on glucocorticosteroids, and of course lifestyle. I mean, lifestyle factors are also very critical. Again, smoking, alcohol, poor nutrition, especially with low calcium and vitamin D, low level of physical activity, everything will lead to low bone mineral density, and multiple medication that can cause this, including steroids, aromatase inhibitors, androgen deprivation agents, multiple chemotherapies. So you can see variety of risk factors that can affect bone mineral density.
Now, medication is usually the go-to when people do have osteoporosis. What are some of the side effects of those osteoporosis medications, and how do we minimize the risk?
Yes, I think this is one of the really important questions, because there are many beliefs in society that those medications really have multiple side effects. I mean, osteoporosis medications, as any other medications, can have side effects, but commonly the prevalence of those side effects are exaggerated and sometimes even not supported by current literature. And please, we also all need to remember that those side effects, and I'm going to talk about them in details in a moment, that they are very rare. And the overall risk profile of those drugs is favorable compared to their benefits in fracture prevention. For example, everybody is afraid about osteonecrosis of the jaw. But the patients, for patients treated, for example, with bisphosphonates or denosumab, the absolute risk of osteonecrosis of the jaw, it's typically between 0.01 to 0.05% over 5 years. In contrast, lifetime risk of dying in the motor vehicle accident in US is approximately 0.9, which is 11 deaths per 100,000 population. You can see the difference. Another example, let's say annual mortality from upper respiratory infections like influenza and respiratory syncytial virus. So an influenza alone can cause over 10,000 deaths per year and RSV about 6,000 deaths per year. So it means that several hundred people per 100,000 population. And of course, who most predisposed, even this is extremely rare complication, elderly people, people with poor dental health, or people who are going to have invasive dental procedures. That is why we always recommend our patients, before we consider treatment, talk to your dentist before initiation of those medications to check if you might need any procedure that should be done before we start treatment.
So you have to fairly look at and weigh the risk. Is it fair to say that complications are rare?
Yes, absolutely. It's very rare. Another side effect that people are afraid of, this is atypical femoral fracture with bisphosphonates. But again, it's about 0.02 to 0.1%, and it's related for duration of treatment. So you can see that if you consider correct medication and correct duration of treatment, we can absolutely minimize side effects, even they are extremely rare right now. One of the very important information about side effects that community needs to know about, this is discontinuation of denosumab. Denosumab is very potent anti-resorptive medication that cannot be stopped without any follow-up treatment, because if denosumab is stopped without any consolidation therapy, the patient will develop activation of resorption until the point of rebound vertebral fractures. So this is something that every single patient who started on denosumab should remember. So it's very critical information for all of people to know. And of course, other medications like anabolic medications, teriparatide, abalaparatide, they were known to cause osteosarcoma. It was a warning box, but the risk is theoretical and was based on animal studies only. There is no risk in human that has been observed for a long period of time. And the last medication, the newest, which is romosozumab with a black warning box, increased cardiovascular risks, but this was only seen in active controlled trial and not in placebo controlled trials. But still, if we see a patient with high cardiac risk, usually it should be a discussion with cardiologist about safety to proceed with this medication.
Dr. Kuzcheyeva, can you explain why treatment for osteoporosis is important?
Yes, because benefits of treatment really overcome all of possible side effects. Treatment for osteoporosis is important because it significantly reduces the risk of fractures, which are associated with substantial morbidity, mortality, and loss of quality of life. And we are dealing mostly with elderly people. So osteoporotic fractures, especially hip and spine, can lead to disability, increased risk for next fractures, even premature deaths. Hip fractures, for example, carry a one-year mortality risk of 21 to 24% in older people and often result in long-term loss of independence. And let me tell you even more, for hip fractures, studies consistently showed that 40 to 60% of patients will not recover their pre-fracture mobility or ability to perform a daily living activities for 1 year after fracture. And I will tell you, only 26% in a year will continue living independently. So the same for vertebral fracture. It's a chronic pain. After vertebral fracture, it will be a chronic pain, disability, limitation in function, a limitation in daily living activities. So that is why it is very important to prevent those fractures, because consequences quite devastating, especially for elderly people.
After hearing this information, if someone wants to get screening, what's the first step they should take?
So it's quite easy to do. So the person can talk with their primary care physician or any specialist they are going to screen them for osteoporosis if they are eligible. It's very easy to do just with DEXA scan. DEXA scanners are widely available in almost all radiology departments. It is simple X-ray based test with very low radiation exposure. But important to know that unlike other imaging modalities, the bone mineral density monitoring needs to be done on the same scanner, since comparison results from different DEXA scanners is not recommended. So it means you need to choose the DEXA scanner that is most convenient for you and go there on a regular basis for bone mineral density monitoring.
Well, Dr. Kushchayeva, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and this important information about a disease that really can affect any of us, and really appreciate you also highlighting the risk factors.
Thank you so much for having me here. It was a pleasure.
That was Dr. Yevgenia Kushchayeva, Medical Director of the USF Adult Osteoporosis Program. For more information, please visit tgh.org/endo. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow Community Connect presented by TGH on your favorite podcast platform. This is Community Connect presented by Tampa General Hospital. Thanks for listening.